Today's Palm Sunday, and I'm preaching a different message than Palm Sunday, although as we're worshiping, Evangeline texted me in Matthew 21 when Jesus came in, and that's the Palm Sunday triumphal entry. Right after that passage is the cleansing of the temple. And I felt like God wanted to preach this morning about cleansing. And that's what the testimonies were about, or some of them were about that too. And so I just feel the word before was alignment. I just sense an alignment of God this morning. So join with me in prayer. Let's jump into God's word. Father, thanks for your presence here. Thanks that we get to enjoy your presence this morning. And we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts. And keep ministering to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're in a sermon series. The sermon series is New Strategies for a New Season. And the title of today's message is A Spring Cleaning Strategy. So let's talk a little bit about spring cleaning, just as a little opening illustration. So a couple weeks ago, eventually my wife told me to go clean out our closet. And I just put it off for a couple of weeks because I honestly felt like I had better things to do first. But also, I didn't want to deal with everything that was in there. But finally, last week, I went in and went into our closet and just found, like, so much junk in there that I couldn't believe that we accumulated through the years. Here's one pile of the junk. You guys remember these? This is old iTunes for those young people. So I just realized, like, there's all this stuff in our closet. We got to get rid of it. And I was thinking about just our lives, our interior lives. That there's time, I mean, years go by, start accumulating stuff in our lives. Brad mentioned something in his testimony, hurts, habits, hang-ups, sin. And we accumulated, it's just in the closet. And I just felt like God had a word this morning for us, that it's time for some spring cleaning. And God reminded me about a passage of scripture in 1 John chapter 1, and you could begin to turn there, 1 John chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 5, and then we'll read to chapter 2, verse 2. John, the Apostle John, had a word to the church. He was writing to the early church, the Christians, about this, about a spring cleaning strategy. I'm going to mention a couple times in this sermon, because it's really important to note that when he was writing 1 John, he was writing to Christians, people that were already saved, already knew Jesus. They already had their sins forgiven in the sense of the having eternal life. But still, in the closet, there might be some things that John was speaking to them about having a spring cleaning. All right, so let's read this passage together. 1 John chapter 1, we'll start in verse 5, and we'll read to chapter 2, verse 2. So let's read it together. Let's read it out loud. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the most famous verse in this passage is 1 John 1:9, right? And let's read it together again before I comment a little more. Let's read it together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Here's one of the times I will remind us that this was written to Christians. a call to confess to Jesus our sins. There's a further description of Jesus in chapter 2, verse 1. So Jesus, the one we confess to, and here's the description of him. Let's read it one more time. This is verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So Jesus is described here as the advocate. The definition of advocate is one who pleads the case of another. And many scholars would say that a modern equivalent of advocate, because we don't use the term advocate these days too much, is a lawyer. So Jesus is, there's no perfect illustration, but Jesus is like a lawyer, one who pleads our case before the Father when we confess our sins to him. And we're called to confess our sins to Jesus, even as Christians. I wanted to give a little illustration here that I think helps capture a little bit of what John was trying to convey. So let's imagine a scenario. Let's imagine that we have a world-class lawyer, the best, the top one in the country. And let's say that he or she offered their services to us for free. And so this person came, this lawyer, this world-class lawyer came, stood over on the side over there, and we said, whoever would like the free services of this world-class lawyer, the best lawyer who would plead the case, go and run over there, and the services will be for free. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you would get up immediately and run over there to secure the services of this world-class lawyer? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I was thinking about my own situation or situations in the past, and I had to really think hard for, I think, one time in my whole life. I'm 41 years old. One time that I had to find the help of a lawyer. I had many situations in my life, even some legal situations, but I found some other way to settle the situation. I didn't have to run to a world-class lawyer. And I was thinking what John was trying to communicate here. He's calling us for a real famous passage of scripture, two Christians, to confess our sins to Jesus. He's the advocate. He will bring our case before the Father. And I was thinking that sometimes in our lives, in our Christian lives, as we go along the way, we got saved a long time ago, sanctification process, and we've been going to church for a while. Do we really feel like that we need to run to Jesus to confess our sins the way that John is speaking in this passage? And I wanted to point out further what John begins to say in this passage when he says to these early Christians why they needed to be that desperate to run to Jesus to confess their sins. Verse 8. Let's read verse 8 again together. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, it's really important for me to point out that this passage, this letter, was written to Christians. And John was saying to them, as he called them to be desperate and vigilant, to run to Jesus, the advocate, to confess their sins, he was pointing out to them, I mean, these are strong words, right? And this is included into Scripture for us. If we say that we have no sin, we are just lying to ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Let's read verses 5 to 6 for a description of how sin could begin to creep in to our lives. So 5 and 6, let's read this together. Description of how sin could creep in. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Again, I point out this was written to Christians. They were already in the light, capital L. But John was speaking to them and saying, is there maybe a little bit of darkness that has crept in? Let me give a little illustration here. So the stage lights are on right now, right? And so we'll just call this maximum light. We're in the light, or I am in the light. And I can do everything I need to do, write a letter, read a book, have a meeting, whatever, in this bright light. But can we just hit these lights just for a moment? It's just a little bit of darkness. I could still do it. I could still write a letter, read a book, we have a meeting, whatever the case may be, but a little bit of darkness. And I could get used to this darkness. And then the enemy is going to take that opportunity to just increase the darkness a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. I really felt like God was speaking to me this message about 3 weeks ago that I felt like I needed to give this morning. Because we're in such a great season. In people's lives, personal lives, lots of opportunities are rising up for people in our church. The opportunities Angela mentioned is rising up for our church corporately, collectively, that there's new doors opening, there's a new season, great things in store. That's when the enemy ramps it up more. We'll try to bring in a little bit of darkness, just a little bit of darkness. And takes that opportunity, if we don't deal with it, if we're not running desperately to the advocate, to increase the darkness a little bit more. I'm 41 years old, I mentioned that. I've been 19 years in the ministry. So I've been around the block a few times. Some of you guys have been around the block a few more times than me, but I have been around the block a few times. I tell you, there's been some well-intentioned Christian leaders, even well-intentioned Christian pastors. And the darkness came in, just a little bit of darkness. But they weren't running to the advocate. They weren't running desperately, 1 John 1:9, to confess their sins. A little bit more darkness. A little bit more darkness. And I've been around the block enough times to see some well-intentioned Christians and even pastors just blow up their lives altogether. They lost their families, their ministry, their reputation, their future, everything. Because a little bit of darkness, and then a little bit more darkness, and then a little bit more darkness. God's telling us, as he speaks this, again, to Christians, this letter. God includes it in the scripture because he's writing a letter to us in 2019. And he calls us, point number one about spring cleaning, run to Jesus today to confess even the little darkness. God wants to lead us into a new season. He is leading us into a new season. He has some new seasons for you and your family. He has definitely a new season for our church. Let's not let a little bit of darkness come in. Let's run to Jesus, the advocate, today. Let's confess our sins. Let's make it right before him. And let's put it be in the full light of Jesus, if you could hit the lights again. So surely we're called to confess our sins. There's that clear call, 1 John 1:9, in this passage. But there is a next step here. So verse 7, the next step. We confess our sins, we run to the advocate, we're cleansed. Verse 7. Let's read it together for this next step. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I just want to focus in on the word here, walk. So the Greek word here, walk, almost every other time that it appears in Scripture refers to a supernatural walking. Maybe the most famous place of all that this Greek word appears is Matthew 14, verse 25. Let's read this together. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. It's a supernatural walking. If we're going to continue to walk in freedom, it's not going to be by sheer willpower. There is a portion that we need to do that, to confess our sins and bring ourselves before God, but it's going to be supernatural. Let me bring us back to the word advocate. Okay, the word advocate that we just learned refers to Jesus in this passage. Every other time in Scripture, this Greek word here refers to the Holy Spirit. It's the Greek word parakletos, refers to the Holy Spirit. Here in this passage, to Jesus. Every other place, to the Holy Spirit. It's really a combination of two Greek words. So para means to one side. Kletos means called one. So the Holy Spirit, parakletos, is called to one side. We need the Holy Spirit to be walking with us every single day. A desperate invitation of the Holy Spirit every single day to keep walking and even running in the freedom that he has for us. Walking, running in the light, in the freedom that God has for us. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be inviting, being filled with the Holy Spirit every single day. I want to insert a little illustration here just to help convey this point. Or let me put up the first point number two. Invite Holy Spirit to walk by our side to keep walking in freedom, running in freedom even. So my 2-year-old daughter, Jubilee, she loves to go to the park and just run in the grass. You know, she feels free. She's so happy. And let me show you a 10-second video of her running in this freedom. Just take a look, and I'm going to connect it in. I didn't mean for it to be in slow motion, but here we go. And notice the happiness. She's getting happier and happier. Anyway, okay, so you get the point. You get the point, okay. So, can I put it this way? In order for Jubilee to be running happily, free, and in freedom, she needs one who is called to walk alongside. If we want to be happily running in freedom, we need one who is called to walk alongside. Let Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. There's probably a million, billion applications. What is God calling you to cleanse out and run to Him in confession? But I felt like that the Holy Spirit was telling me to bring up two things this morning, two specific things. First thing is about unforgiveness or bitterness in our hearts. By the way, unforgiveness is a sin, right? Jesus called us to forgive. And when we don't forgive, we're actually disobeying Him. And when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, it literally could blow up. I heard this illustration once, but this is another pastor. He gave an illustration about unforgiveness. I thought it was great. I'll just share it with you this morning. He gave an illustration about the 1940s, World War II. The Allied forces dropped bombs in Germany. This is the 1940s. But many years later, 2019, there's some that are still there that didn't go off. So they'll be out there right now in 2019 trying to build an apartment complex or whatever, and they'll discover these bombs from the 1940s. And you know what they do? They evacuate the whole city so that they can defuse that bomb. They're that vigilant about it, that serious about it, because they know that now that they're digging around it and poking at it, that it could blow up and it could mess up the whole city. And so they're that vigilant and careful and attentive about that. And I think about sometimes the unforgiveness in our hearts that's there from long, long time ago, that it could start blowing up in our lives. You know what's interesting? Every single time I preach, including this week, on forgiveness, I feel like the Lord confronts me and convicts me in my personal life about forgiveness. Because guess what? You could be a Christian for decades like me, and you don't realize that unforgiveness could just build up unaware. Because you know that the same people could do the same stuff to you again, and it could just flare back up. And that's why we need to keep on running to Jesus and keep on confessing it and bringing it before Him and just casting it to Him. By the way, forgiveness is not that someone apologizes necessarily, because you could go up to a person that wronged you and they probably didn't even think that they wronged you. But forgiveness is about running to Jesus, our advocate, that will bring it to the Father and say, I can't handle this. I can't just keep rehearsing it over and over again. God, I give it to You. This morning, I had already written the sermon, but this morning I was reading a book. And in this book, it was talking about forgiving ourselves. And I felt like there was a word this morning that some of us, we need to forgive ourselves. And this book made this point. I thought it was just brilliant. If someone sincerely apologized to us, would we forgive them? Almost certainly we would forgive them. They sincerely apologized to us. But for some of us, we're sincerely sorry, but we won't forgive ourselves. Listen, release it to Jesus, our advocate, the only one who could take it, who could handle it, and bring it to the Father. The second thing, again, let Holy Spirit speak to you what the application is about the spring cleaning strategy. But I felt like the other thing was sexual immorality. There's not a person, I said, I've been around the block a couple of times. Those people that blew up their lives, it wasn't on a one-time thing. It wasn't like they woke up one day and said, I'm going to blow up my life and my family and everything else. It was, again, that little bit of darkness. They didn't deal with it. They didn't run to Jesus. They didn't confess it to other people. By the way, that's part of it. James 5:16, we confess our sins one to another that we may be healed. We confess it to Jesus, but God gives us brothers and sisters in our lives that help us in this process. I share this with you because I know God has great plans for you. God has great plans for us. But I think it's time to go into that closet and do some spring cleaning and do some business with God and clean it out so that we can be ready for the things that God has for us, the great things that he has for us to put into our lives and deposit in our lives. As we close out this time, we're just going to worship to a song, a real familiar song to you guys. I just want to ask you to just do business with God. A spring cleaning strategy. Would you run to Jesus with those things, hurts, habits, hang-ups, sins, unforgiveness, whatever the case may be, run to Jesus with those things and then invite Holy Spirit to walk alongside because he's the only one who is going to supernaturally begin to empower you to walk and run in the freedom that God has for you. Let's all stand together. Worship team, if you can come forward at this time.